The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This past weekend, we had our seventh highest response on the Key of David program here in the UK. was on the true gospel. What is the true gospel really about? We advertised the incredible human potential, and that program brought in 156 total responses. That is our seventh highest to date, our seventh highest this year after, what would it be, 42, 43 weeks, I guess. 156 total. The Mystery of the Ages goal that we have, 2,000 for the year. We are, as I said last week, we're at 1,266. We added another straggler to that figure I gave you last week. So 1,266 leaves us 734 shy of our goal. Now, we have a program that we just approved last evening. It went to the television station today, and that's going to be advertising Mystery of the Ages, the subject being Mystery of the Church. So that'll be playing here in the UK this Saturday morning and also again on Sunday morning. I just want to read to you a comment that we received in response to, I believe, last Monday's program, radio program. And this is a father who's talking about the impact that some of these stats and figures have had on him and his family. He says, I've been praying for the Mystery of the Ages goal of 2,000 requests in the 2015 calendar year for a few months now, but this program made me realize I have to do more. I look forward to every Monday's program since this is typically when the statistics are released, and it's exciting to see what God's work is doing. Each week, at the beginning of the week, we try to update you. Yesterday, by the way, I want to thank Brad McDonald for filling in on the program. But typically, we do like to keep you aware of what's happening in this part of the world here at Edstone as it works to support God's headquarters work there in Edmond, Oklahoma. But coming back to this email, he writes, each week I listen and jot down the numbers on a post-it note so that I can take it home to my family. With about four programs left, we would need 184 requests per program offering Mystery of the Ages. He said he plans to pray for 200. We need it. We need everyone listening to pray for 200 so that we can meet that goal. But he says here, thank you for reading the example set by Mr. Armstrong that it takes a family of concentrated prayers to further extend God's work. It takes a family, he says. At the beginning of this school year, I set a goal with my oldest daughter, who is in the second grade, to study Mystery of the Ages with her. And these updates have been a great talking point for my family as my wife and I teach our children about God's work. I go home and relay to them the updated number and just how far we have, or how far we are from sending out 2,000 copies of Mystery of the Ages. He said it gives us something to pray about as a family. I thought that was an inspiring example of one trying to get his family, his children, even as young as in the second grade, into Mystery of the Ages, involved in the work. How involved are your children, if you have them? How involved is your family in God's work? Going back to this subject that we touched upon last week, that this young man was responding to. Think about what God said about the great patriarch Abraham. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. I know this Abraham. I know what kind of father he is. I know what kind of husband he is. And I know that the whole family shall keep the way of the Lord. That's quite a statement for God to make about one man leading his family, teaching a way of life. That's what Christianity is in the end. It's a way of life. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This isn't fashionable today in our lawless world, in our world without discipline and structure, to actually train up a child in the way that he should go. If you look at that word, the Hebrew word for train up, it means to instruct in a systematic fashion, to use questions, to give answers, to offer explanations, to administer correction. That's what's involved in training up a child in the way that he should go. Let's look over at Deuteronomy 11. If you have your Bible nearby, open it up and look at what God has to say to parents, to families. Look at what he has to say about children, about how important it is to train them up in the way that they should go. This is Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Keep God's charge. Love him. And know you this day, verse 2 says, for I speak not with your children, which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the eternal your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. I mean, he's speaking to the parents, the ones who lived through it, the ones who saw it, who witnessed it. They've got to pass it along. And how important is it, especially so today? Jeremiah Jacques had an article at thetrumpet.com just yesterday, I think it was featured, about man's attempts to revise history, to retell it so that it squares with the current day agenda, to lie, basically. How thankful should we be for God's inspired word, his inspired truth, the Holy Bible. And that if you have a King James version of that Bible, you can study it each night, each morning, and know that 99.9% of it is accurate. There's a few inaccuracies because of translators, because human beings put it together, but God inspired the way it was put together. God inspired it. And for the few instances where the English translation is incorrect, you can generally arrive right at the true meaning by just studying a little bit more deeply into the Hebrew or the Greek text. But in a world that's just getting worse and worse, as Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy 3, how important is it for you, for your marriage, and for your children to be grounded in the truth of God? Here again, God is addressing the parents. I speak not with your children, which have not known. I'm talking to you. I'm addressing the parents. And what does God expect of the parents? Verse 7 says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Eternal which he did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. Keep these commandments. Here's the key to your strength, to your wisdom. This is why the nations around about you will envy you and the blessings I'll pour upon you. If you keep the commandments of God, and verse 18 says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes Never forget these instructions. And verse 19 says, teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's diligence right there. That's describing a diligent parent who's teaching his children about God's way of life, about God's truth, about God's work. It says in verse 20, you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. God's not going overboard here. He's just stressing how important it is for us to begin teaching our children from the earliest possible age God's statutes, God's judgments, God's commandments. Verse 21 says that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Eternal sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. He says that your days and the days of your children be multiplied. See, both parties are affected. Whether good or bad, both are affected by the parents' decisions, the parents' willingness to teach, to sit together in the house, to walk by the way with the children, to educate them in the ways of God when they go to bed, after they rise up in the morning. Notice Deuteronomy 6, a few pages earlier in the passage. This whole book, by the way, is a wonderful study, the book of Deuteronomy. We go through it in quite a bit of detail at Armstrong College in Old Testament Survey. But the book is just packed with so much instruction about God's laws. And as you can see here from these two passages, about child rearing, about how to train up your children in the way that they should go. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 6, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command you, you and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. See here again, blessings coming upon you, coming upon your children, because of obedience to God's laws, because of educating our children in the ways of God. Verse 3 says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Study these ways. Learn it. Learn it deeply, and then go do it. Apply it in your own life, and then teach it to your children. This is God's instruction to the older generation. What are we passing on to the next generation? What are we handing over to our youth, to our children, to our young people? In The Missing Dimension in Sex, this is Herbert Armstrong's book. He says here, marriage is in itself a career. One is not ready to enter upon any profession or career until after full preparation. And he goes on and talks about the different stages of development physically and how much children need to be educated in the basics early on, and then receive more advanced training and education, more specialized instruction. God's word has to be the foundation of all of this. Children are born with super absorbent minds, and yet most parents in the world today, they let others take care of the teaching. Whether it's these revisionist historians or teachers at school or television or popular culture. Parents have an obligation, a God-given responsibility, and we're going to have to answer for it. God's going to want to know, how diligent were you in teaching them, by the way, before they went to bed, when they rose in the morning? How well did you fulfill your role as a father, as a mother? How strong was the marriage? How obedient, how faithful were the children? Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Eternal your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk to them," or talk of them, "when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Here again, very similar to what it says in Deuteronomy 11, diligently teaching them again and again and again. Verse 8 says, "And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." God wants it right out front, because he knows how easy it is for us to forget. He knows how easy it is for our children to forget. He knows how easy it is for the history to be revised by the great historians of our day. He knows how quickly we forget the truth. Think about what Paul said in Galatians 1, where he marveled that God's own people had turned to another gospel so soon after the establishment of the church. My father wrote in Malachi's message that if God's going to be able to discern between those who serve him in this work and those who don't, it's all going to boil down to remembering. Remember what we were taught. That's the great sin of the Laodicean era of God's church. Read about it in Revelation 3. They forget. They've forgotten about their history. They've turned their backs on God. They've revised the history, those who now write about it. That's why it's so important to get back into God's truth, the Bible, and all the literature, too. Mystery of the Ages, I mean, that's the most important book since the Bible. And we've seen, Raising the Ruins talks about it at length, we've seen how hard men worked to bury that truth, to revise that history, to turn all that Mr. Armstrong did for God, the amazing work that he raised up for God, to try to revise that history and say that, well, it was all a bad thing, and well, it didn't really have an impact like those who lived through it knew. But years go by, and human nature being what it is, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget ourselves as adults. How quickly our children will forget if we don't teach them. There's a double benefit there, too, for a parent. Because if you're working diligently to teach the little ones, to teach your children those principles, those laws, those teachings are reinforced just that much more solidly in our own minds as parents. Verse 9 says, "You shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates." What then are some of the things that you can, just to finish on a more practical note here, what are some of the things that you can teach your children? Well, for one, teach them that God is their father. There's the passage in Isaiah 1, which we've gone through multiple times on this program, The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doesn't know. We've talked before about Mr. Armstrong's goal when writing Mystery of the Ages, with chapter 1 in particular, and how that he wanted to make God more real than even our own physical father. That was his goal at the outset. Teach your children that God is their father, that God is their provider, their protector, that God loves his children more than he even loves himself. Teach your children how God forgives. Teach your children how the Father blesses for obedience and curses for disobedience. Teach them the law of cause and effect. Remind them that God, as their Father, is their primary educator. Along the way, of course, teach them how to communicate with their Father. Teach them about prayer and Bible study. Teach them how to talk to God. The disciples in Luke 11, if you remember there, they approached Jesus Christ, who was praying, and they said, "Well, teach us how to do this. Teach us how to pray. Show us how to talk to God." Christ had such a close, intimate, personal relationship with his Father. It was real. He prayed with fervency. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails so much. Christ didn't just have this close, profound, powerful relationship with his Father. He wanted others to have it as well. He wanted the children of God to have it. He wanted the disciples of God to have it. And we should want our children to have this same relationship. In the Gospel of Matthew, there in the prayer outline chapter, Matthew 6, it says, "But when you pray," it doesn't say if you do it, or if there's a crisis, then do it. It says, "When you do it." And then later on in that outline, it talks about praying daily. You're asking for your daily bread. So it's a daily ritual. It's a daily occurrence. Are your children praying daily? Go through that outline in Matthew 6, Luke 11, the companion passage. Lots of wonderful instruction there about praying to God. Teach your children to pray to God. And lastly here, this is about all that we have time for, teach your children about the Bible. Don't assume that they're too young or that they won't understand. Break it down for them, even if they are really little, very young. Look at the example of the Bereans in Acts 17. God says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied God's truth. They proved the truth of God. In the booklet, The Plain Truth About Child Rearing, it says most parents assume their very tiny children are too young to teach. They believe they should wait until the child is old enough to understand, quote unquote. It says, however, this excuse is often carried over into most of the preschool years by many parents, resulting in a perfectly horrible little child who is rebellious, ill-mannered, disrespectful toward his elders, and generally destructive. A good slogan, it says, to remember is the one already quoted, never too young to learn. Never too young to learn. Those are super absorbent minds that they have. Fill them with God's truth. Fill them with God's teachings. Explain to them God's plan. Tell them about the work. Give them guidance for their prayer habits, their Bible study habits. Get them involved. So much of the time in the Old Testament and the New, you see that when individuals came along to the truth, Their whole family came along with them. There's several examples of that in the book of Acts. But look again at what it says in Genesis 18 about Abraham. Look at the family. God does. Look at what it says in Joshua about Joshua, his family. As for me and my house, we're going to obey God. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to have a godly marriage. We're going to raise godly children. Every parent is a teacher. Every parent is a historian. Every parent is an educator. Every father is a type of God the Father. He's a type of God the Father in that household, in that home. How important is it to fulfill your role? We're all imperfect, of course, and we make mistakes. But as parents, we're here preparing our children for their place in the family of God, preparing them for baptism, preparing them for a life that's committed and devoted to God and His truth. That's the objective. There's plenty more that we could get into on this deep subject. So much detail that we could cover on what to teach your children about God. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily radio show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. Send us your feedback, just like the listener from last week, talking about the impact of the Mystery of the Ages goal and how it's affected and impacted his family. You can send that or any other comments or any other feedback to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, as always. We'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.